Hello and welcome to the NBA Outlook presented by OTGBasketball.com. Make sure you follow OTG on Twitter at OTGBasketball. Also hit that subscribe button. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me as always, Corey Waldron. How are we doing, Corey?
Pretty good, Nick. Happy birthday. I'm proud of you. It's your birthday. If everyone out there listening, it's Nick's 26th birthday, the big 26. He's taking time out of his birthday day to record a podcast. You tell me what's more dedicated than that.
Thank you, Corey. I appreciate that. The grind continues. I think this is my first birthday pod, but if I can ask you all a birthday favor, make sure you subscribe to the NBA Outlet and all the OTG podcasts.
Fun little fact, too. In 2 weeks, on the Wednesday, will be my birthday. Just figure that out. It's a Wednesday birthday month for us so at the OTG Outlet.
You can expect another birthday pod.
Yeah.
But let's get started, Corey. Big news came out the last few days. Kawhi Leonard is eyeing a March return. This is, 5 days after Popovich said he didn't expect to see Kawhi this season. Now rumors are Kawhi could return in the month of March, and he's already back working out with the team this week.
Yeah, this is like one of those, you said I'm not going to do this, so let me prove you wrong, I feel like, scenarios. But it's great news for the Spurs because, we had an entire podcast for the most part where we talked about for like about 15 minutes where we said, without Kawhi Leonard, the Spurs arguably could miss the playoffs. We know how tight the West is. They have one of the toughest schedules to end the year. And now with Kawhi coming back, that changes everything. Kawhi Leonard is a top five player in this league. He impacts the game on both sides of the floor, which not every superstar does. And I'm sure Popovich he doesn't show much emotion, but I'm sure Popovich, when he found out that Kawhi Leonard was going to come back and start practicing and eyeing a March return, I'm sure he was enlightened.
Well, you mentioned the point that I think is interesting, too. It's kind of like a told you so moment. What do you think about that relationship right now with the Spurs and Kawhi? Obviously, the report was that Kawhi didn't want to play and the Spurs thought he was ready. It was more about pain management. And reports have come out that relationship is now complicated. There's plenty of tension, even stress about Kawhi becoming a free agent in 2019.
All right, so this is how I see anything within the Spurs organization, first off. We don't get any news from the Spurs. Right off the bat, it's an organization that keeps everything tight-knit. We've even seen it now with your Brooklyn Nets. When D'Angelo Russell went down, there was no reports really about him, and because Sean Marks is now running the job over there, and he's from San Antonio just doesn't release information. They keep everything in-house. So it leaves us as the media members guessing. What are they doing? What's really happening behind the scenes? I will admit there probably is some sort of tension. This has been, I think, a really frustrating time for Kawhi Leonard with this quad injury. No one expected this to even be an issue this long because we all thought it was just an ankle injury from Zaza Pachulia last year in the playoffs, and the quad injury happened. I mean, for me personally, it threw me off guard. I just think, and LaMarcus Aldridge even had issues with the Spurs, and then Popovich, talked to him, sat him down, and now they're fine. I really think at the end of the day, Kawhi is going to care more about his relationship with Popovich and the team rather than ownership and front office and all of that. As long as Popovich and Kawhi Leonard are on the same page, I think it'll be okay, but that only gets better when he gets back on the court.
Yeah, I think there is some tension, and obviously if the Spurs don't do well, but the thing is the Spurs are always competitive, always one of the top teams, obviously still a top three, top four seed right now, and Kawhi's only played about 9 to 10 games. So I think they have that in their back pocket. If he were to leave, what do you think would be what he was looking for in free agency? This is a hypothetical.
It's really hard to answer any questions about Kawhi because, like, as a person, like, do we even know Kawhi?
Very quiet.
If he was to leave anywhere, like any superstar, he would want to go to a winning situation. Like, he would have to think that he can go somewhere and win. Kawhi Leonard has spent his entire career in a winning situation, a top three team in the West. He already has a ring. I just can't see him going to any other team that's not either buying to be a contender or already a contender. So that leaves, five teams at best, and a lot of them are already full of superstars. So I just don't see it. I really don't see a scenario where he goes anywhere. Like, I can't even pick a team. I mean, maybe Houston. If Houston could somehow, instead of going after LeBron, they go after Kawhi next year, maybe. But, it still feels far-fetched to me to even say.
Yeah, I think we're not at that point yet. Obviously, if things still go bad, if, Kawhi returns, then he's out again or he's not playing next season. I think 2019 free agency is a little bit more, possible for a team to attack him. But as of right now, I still think he's, you know, staying with the Spurs.
Wait, well, here, I got one thing for you. Philly, maybe. You know, if Kawhi likes a young core, maybe that shows a lot of potential, then maybe a place like Philly might interest him, where he could just be the defensive, you know, 1-2 superstar there.
Yeah, and he'd have someone to create for him like Ben Simmons. And then obviously right. Brett Brown being from the Spurs system would be a plus. But like I said, I agree with you. I think we're not at that point yet where Kawhi's going to lead. But moving on to our next topic, this is something you brought up yesterday. Dwight Howard, a top five center this season. I want to hear your thoughts on this.
It's all right. So obviously the Charlotte Hornets have not been very good. Recently they've been good. But to start off the year, they were not very good. It led, you know, us to kind of, I think, sleep on Dwight Howard. But, you know, low-key, Dwight Howard is having one of his best careers since his Orlando days. He's averaging 15.8 points per game, 12.6 rebounds, and 1.7 blocks. Last night against the Bulls, he had 24 on 10 of 12 shooting and 5 blocks. And then only had 5 rebounds, but he had 5 blocks. Dwight Howard, if you watch him, looks more engaged than he's looked the last 4 years. He doesn't take off plays. He runs the floor all the time. We've seen him cross players. We've seen him dribble the ball up on his own. Dwight Howard just has looked the best he's looked. I'm not sure whether or not his back feels the best it has in recent years, if his knees just look good. But Steve Clifford, who was also a part of the Orlando Magic organization back when Howard was in Orlando, clearly knows how to use Dwight Howard. I just think that can't go unsaid, that Steve Clifford just simply knows how to use him, because he's been great. And when you look at other centers who, you know, may have more points per game or slightly less rebounds, or maybe have a couple more assists, there's not very many centers that are both effectively on the boards, scoring, and defensively as Dwight Howard. Like Karl-Anthony Towns, to me, yes, he's phenomenal. Great young talent, clearly going to be a top five center in this league one day. But if you're telling me right now, I would pick Dwight Howard over Karl-Anthony Towns, because if you're watching Karl-Anthony Towns on defense, he gives you very little. He's a fantastic offensive player, but defensively, I don't know if I take Karl-Anthony Towns over Dwight Howard.
Well, I think with Dwight, you know what you're getting, in the sense that, you know, he's going to roll to the rim, he's going to attack the boards, he's going to block some shots. But I think the issue with Dwight is, what else can he do? You know, offensively, he did cross a few people up this year, but is that something consistently that we expect from him? Not really. Can he shoot the ball? Not really. Can you pull him out to the perimeter and kind of use him in a pick and roll? Yeah, I think so. But I mean, yeah, there's guys in the league that are probably overrated where we don't value defense, but I still think there's probably 5 guys for sure that I'm taking over him. Just off the top of my head, you know, Cousins, Embiid, Gobert, Jokic, Horford, Drummond. I mean, I would take Cat over him personally, because I prefer spacing. And I think Cat, his biggest problem isn't defensive ability. It's like his defensive technique, and he just always seems to get confused. Like you've mentioned before in the pod, he always ends up in like no man's land. It's like he doesn't commit in being decisive. And I think, you know, Dwight can do those things, but also look at the Hornets. You know, the Hornets aren't a good team, and they're not even in the playoffs right now in a weak Eastern Conference. So,
but don't sleep on them yet, because I do think with how Detroit's playing and how bad Blake Griffin has been so far, not that he's been terrible, but if you actually look at the stats, his numbers are down across the board. So
his efficiency has been rough.
Yeah, so, I mean, obviously, too, you know, he's trying to learn a new system on the fly and everything else. But, you know, I don't think Detroit does look like a lock to make the playoffs. Miami hasn't been great. I know last night, obviously, Wade, shout out to him, honoring one of the kids who was killed in the Parkland shooting, went out and scored 15 in the final 5 minutes and hit a game winner against Philly. So they're struggling too. So the Hornets have won 5 in a row, I believe. You know, they could sneak an A seed from the Heat and the Pistons if they keep striving like this.
I mean, that would be really impressive turnaround from the Hornets. I don't know if I expected, but they, like you said, they are on a winning streak. They've gotten really hot shooting-wise. I think Evan Dial posted some stats today of some of the numbers they're shooting, and it's like out of this world. So obviously they'll probably cool down a little bit. And like you mentioned, Detroit is a team that I'm not sure about. The second part of your tweet, though, I agree with, is the fact that I think Dwight is a Hall of Fame player. You know, if healthy, his career would have been a lot different. I think those back problems really hampered him. And then relationships along the way, like, I don't think Dwight was mentally tough in a couple situations where he could have had more success.
Hey, I believe my favorite player of all time, Kobe Bryant, once referred to him as soft, directed to his face the first time he met him again when he was on the Houston Rockets. But yeah, I've seen it a lot actually on Twitter this year in particular, people, and last year, people bringing up that is Dwight Howard a Hall of Fame debate. And if you look at his career, I mean, the guy's never averaged less than a double-double in his career. You know, he's always averaged double-digit rebounds and double-digit points. Even on his, you know, his lower years in, you know, his couple years in Houston, the, you know, where he wasn't great, you know, he still averaged, you know, 15 and 10 or 13 and 11. And the blocks per game, yes, they've dropped as he's gotten older, but he's still always right around 2 blocks per game.
Yeah, and I mean, he did have that stretch with Orlando where he was just super dominant. He got them to the finals. So I think that alone kind of helps him get into there. But talking about Hall of Fame players, obviously there's been a lot of talk about LeBron James going to the Sixers this offseason. I think it was reported LeBron was looking at private schools in Philly. Obviously the Billboard, you know, finished the process with LeBron in a picture with the Sixers starting lineup. What are your thoughts on the Sixers being a possible destination for LeBron James?
No. I don't see it. You know, I mentioned Kawhi before. A guy like Kawhi to me makes more sense because he doesn't need the balls in his hand. He's already, I saw a stat the other day that in like, Kawhi Leonard has like 915 career assists, or like last year he had 915 assists. Some number where like James Harden did it in like 1 year and it took Kawhi Leonard like 4 years to get like the same amount of assists. He doesn't need the ball in his hands. If then, like, you put a guy like LeBron on the team next to Ben Simmons, you know, Ben Simmons can't shoot. So Ben Simmons needs the ball to drive and, you know, facilitate. Well, LeBron isn't a great jump shooter, and LeBron already pretty much runs the offense and keeps the ball in his hand majority of the time. So my issue with him going to Philly is I just don't think, you know, Nick, for example, you're a huge spacing guy. You know, for me, the spacing on a team like that would be very bad. And I just don't think I'd be okay with it if I'm LeBron having a guy who can't shoot next to me when I already get the ball in my hands.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest question mark going in would be the spacing. You know, can Ben Simmons add some type of jump shot? Is LeBron going to be willing to add more to his jump shot? Even the same with Joel Embiid. He's been inconsistent from the three-point line. If they had a lineup like that, it would probably have to include, like I think I've mentioned to this before or on the podcast, it would have to be almost two shooters in the guard spots. You know, like a J.J. Redick type and another, like, elite shooter. So, I mean, in terms of that, the spacing and that fit, I don't see it. The only reason that I could see it in the sense that is, like, LeBron's like, you know what, I want to play with two young, blooming stars who could be superstars, possibly, you know, maybe two top 15 players in the league, and then kind of they carry me into the end of my career, and I'm just attacking the finals. I'm in the finals all the time. Because I was having a discussion with somebody, like, LeBron's probably not going to get the championships, obviously, with the Warriors being around and just the way things are going. But he could end up in the finals, like, a crazy amount of times. And if he went to a team like Philly, like, he would just keep going. They would just own the East. You know, having a Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons, LeBron James, you know, through those three star players. But like you said, the spacing is the issue. The one thing that helps them, though, is they're one of the few teams that will have cap space this summer. They can offer them that max deal. Not many teams have that, but still, it's not likely.
Yeah, and to your point, you know, with where he goes, because I had like a little interaction with a couple, you know, NBA Twitter guys today who were talking about LeBron to Houston, which I just don't see happening. I know we use the argument that far too often that there's only one basketball, and yes, with the Warriors, who cares about the one basketball thing? It's worked out beautifully. So far in Houston, it's worked out beautifully. But, you know, Houston's working out really well with Chris Paul and James Harden, who are two ball-dominant guards. Now, if you throw in a third ball-dominant guy, like, I just don't think those three could coexist on the same team. And I'm sure they could make it work, and I'm sure I would be wrong, but I don't think that would be his best option to win, even still. Because like you said, if he were to a team like Philly or any other team in the East, the path to the finals is every year for the most part. You know, LeBron has to really drop off in skill level for me to not say he's in the finals in the Eastern Conference. Like, even this year, I don't care what anyone says. To me, it's still LeBron James in the finals until I'm proven otherwise, because in the playoffs, he is on a different level. So I think for LeBron, like you said, he made a great point. I think when he said he can go to the finals a dumb amount of times, like a crazy amount of times, why would you risk not getting to the finals in the West? Where at least if you can get to the finals in the East, you still have some chance of winning that title. You know what I'm saying? You can maybe get lucky. Right. You can maybe get lucky like you did that 1 year against Gold State, where obviously Draymond got suspended. You won that game, and then you had a crazy game seven victory. You know, those chances only happen if you're in the East for LeBron. I don't think in the West you want to have to go through an OKC, a Houston, and a San Antonio, a Minnesota, or a Warriors team to get to the finals. You'd rather have just Boston and Toronto, you know, in your way in the East.
Yeah, and that brings up the next point is Boston, I think, you know, this year isn't at a point where they could beat them, but going forward, they could have a team that could possibly beat the Cavs. You know, having a Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum another year under their belt, getting Gordon Hayward back, you know, making a few moves here and there. I think, you know, Boston could take that next step, which I think could put pressure on LeBron to leave Cleveland. Like you said, he'd like to stay in the East, but who knows if the Cavs would be good enough next year if they stayed the same to beat Boston in the playoffs. So who knows if he could leave into another Eastern Conference team. If you had to give me three teams in the East that you think LeBron could sign with, who are they?
Well, is re-signing with Cleveland a cop-out?
Yeah, it's a cop-out, yeah. It has to be a different squad.
Okay. Well, first off, I think Miami. I think Miami's is still a destination that interests him. Because likewise, they have some young talent, Josh Richardson and Tyler Johnson. Obviously, we know his friendship with Wade. I don't know if you saw last night, actually, when Wade hit the game winner. Yep. Yeah, he was in the background watching and, you know, best friend goals. So I think
the only thing with Miami though is the cap problem. Their cap money is locked up big time, and they have no picks to move on any of their dead cap either.
Well, maybe you could do a sign and trade with Cleveland, so Cleveland doesn't lose LeBron for nothing, and you end up getting something back. I mean, you're right. I think you're right. The cap issue is probably.
I think the only person they'd probably want is like Hassan Whiteside, maybe, and or Richardson. But then, like, you're going to Miami without. It's tough. Like, for me personally, like, I don't know if LeBron and Wade, like, as great of friends they are, like, maybe that Wade and LeBron, like, didn't work out the second time. Like, I don't know if you saw the reports. A lot of it was, like, Wade was the reason the locker room was so bad.
Oh, really?
Yeah. A lot of the Cavs reports came out later on that, like, it wasn't Isaiah Thomas, the one who approached Kevin Love about, you know, faking being sick or not coming, you know, to the game or whatever. It was Dwayne Wade and, like, a lot of the executives in the Cavs organization were very happy when Wade was gone. More so than even Isaiah Thomas.
Oh, wow. I did not know that. But yeah, that's not a surprise to me because, I mean, last year in Chicago, right, we had all those reports about Wade being an issue because he didn't practice a lot. And we did hear that out of Cleveland. I heard that out of Cleveland, too, that they didn't practice every day, which is, to me, Wade. I wasn't aware, though, about the other stuff. So, yeah, I mean, if that's the case, then you're right. I could definitely see that being something that LeBron might want to stay away from.
Yeah, I think it could be something where, you know, you're such good friends off the court where people see that LeBron's, like, playing favor to him. And he's, like you said, the practice thing, even if, like, the team's practicing, LeBron has says to the coach, like, you know, Wade really needs a day off. His knees are feeling bad. Like, you know what I mean? It could just be those little tiny favors. And there's, like, another player in the team or Wade's getting the extra minutes, even though he just missed transition defense like five times. You know what I mean? Something along right. those lines. But back to LeBron. Yeah. Who else do you think other right. ideas?
So Miami is still one for me, though. Even despite all that, I'll say Miami is still one only because of the location and the history. And I think, too, for, like, the story, like, if LeBron goes anywhere, you know, he might get backlash. But if he goes back to a team he already was at, it's not, like, the worst kind of look for him.
Yeah, it's not terrible for his resume in terms of accomplishments and career and people being like, oh, another team for LeBron.
Right. Second, you have to say the Sixers because I just think – because of the money situation, and like you mentioned, playing with two young superstars in the making might be enough to entice him in. And he also played, you know, he saw Embiid live and up close, so that could have maybe he saw something that we don't know because we know LeBron's a, you know, crazy smart guy. And then
he's also pretty close with Ben Simmons. Like, he's, you know, they've, I think, worked out together. He's even said things that Simmons can be better than him.
Yeah, he called him like a mini version of himself. With his size and strength.
And the Philly school thing isn't a joke. I think somebody tweeted out yesterday when he did go back to Cleveland, LeBron was spotted, you know, looking at Cleveland schools. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's like, oh, my God, he's going to Philly just because he looked at schools, but it's definitely a plus for Sixer fans.
Mm. Yeah, no, I wasn't aware of that either. So then you got those two, right? Raptors, no way. Celtics would love to, but their money is
so funny. Kyrie would be so mad.
Right? Wouldn't that be funny? I mean, actually, if you think about it too, just to throw another, you know, thought in my head out, you know, if the Celtics didn't have Gordon Hayward and Kawhi Leonard had all these rumors, you know how aggressively I think they pursue Kawhi Leonard?
Yeah.
I mean, he would fit in Boston, I think, a lot better than Gordon Hayward. Not that Gordon Hayward won't be good in Boston, but at least Kawhi Leonard plays defense.
Well,
and
Kawhi's just a better, substantially better player, and that's right. No disrespect to Hayward. It's just Kawhi's one of the best in the league. And it kind of sucks for Kawhi, you know, not to get back on that topic, but I feel like people are starting to lose respect for him in terms of like, oh, he's not really a top five player. He's missed the whole season. Like, nah, he's still top five. He's just been out. Relax.
Yeah, and I like to always say this to, you know, piggyback over what you just said. There's like two ways to rank players. You can rank players, you know, over overall skill, and then you can rank players on like how they're playing in a current season. Like, exactly. There's a fine line between, like, last year, Westbrook was a top five player in the league. He was. I don't care what anyone says. Last year he was a top five player. This year, no. He might not even be top 10 this year. It's really all – it just depends on what kind of scale you're going on.
Exactly. I think in the sense that, like you said, last year you'd rank Westbrook top five, but and then in the off season where you're ranking, like, skilled players in terms of, you know, who I want on my team type of thing, or, you know, how much impact they have in the game, Westbrook's probably not in your top five just because of the inefficiencies.
Right. 100%. It's all about, like, how you're basing your criteria. I guess lastly, you know, Bucks, Wizards, I mean, one of those two teams, like, it's just – There's too many bad teams. Like, he ain't going to Detroit. Charlotte ain't got enough money. I mean, unless Jordan somehow, like, throws him the entire Jordan brand and says, be me. And Knicks, you've ruined that opportunity with the Melo situation. Chicago, he's not going to play in Jordan's shoes. Brooklyn doesn't have enough pieces. Orlando, trash. Hawks, trash. Pacers, there's no godly way he'd ever consider the Pacers.
It would have to be a big market too. I think, you know, like, upon being a team that probably fits, it would have to be somewhat, you know, a good market. Like, Philly would be a good market. Washington, I see somewhat of a big market in terms of, like, spotlight, but attendance and stuff is terrible. But obviously LeBron's there. It's everything.
Milwaukee could be interesting sleeper, but money-wise, I don't know if they could do it.
Money-wise, and then also I think it's similar to the Simmons situation. In terms of a Giannis, you know, the lack of jump shot, playing with a guy who has the ball in his hands a lot, and then just Milwaukee being super tiny market. Yeah. And then if you I don't even know. Like, I can't even really – it's tough to say. Unless LeBron has, like, something in his back pocket you don't really know about where he's like, yeah, I'm going to sign there. I'm going to bring this guy with me. I'm also has, like, three reserves that I know really well, and they said they'll sign too. Like, he could really transform any team into a contender overnight. So I don't want to rule out any team, but – It's
you know,
tough.
I'll give you two sleepers though. And these are both, or three sleepers from the West. I think the West is not likely, but I think the West has sleeper potential because you can still build a roster around LeBron. I think the Spurs have a chance.
Yeah.
There's been like a growing mutual love and respect over the years anyways from Popovich and LeBron. And Popovich, you know, compare LeBron to like the Black Panther. Like, yep. I think like they may not be actively going to pursue LeBron, but I think Popovich will have some kind of interest in LeBron if LeBron has interest in them. Because I think it would be a smooth transition for LeBron to go play in San Antonio, where there really isn't a dominant point guard right now. Like, LeBron could really run the show in San Antonio. I think Popovich would still be okay with that because LeBron would play, you know.
And LeBron's life would get a lot easier too because he's just running the show in terms of being more of a point guard. He'd have another elite scorer in Kawhi Leonard to have his back. And I think the storyline-wise, it would be amazing because it's like, all right, Golden State, we got two top five players. You have two top five players. We have probably the best coach in the league. You have one of the best coaches in the league. We have great, you know, players from top to bottom. So do you. Like, this is really a matchup now.
Yeah, I 100% agree. Second sleeper, Pelicans. I still think, despite the DeMarcus Cousins injury, he may have some interest in going there, but of course that would Jrue Holiday would be traded in that scenario. But I think that's a possibility. And then lastly, I think the Clippers are trying to make a move for him. I think the Clippers have been building this team to try and, you know, entice LeBron to come this offseason. And that's the four teams. If he doesn't care about market, wouldn't Utah make kind of sense?
I mean, to some extent it would. I mean, they do have pieces, a good underrated coach in Quinn Snyder, but I don't know. I think, you know, I don't know. Something about, like, I hate to throw shade on Utah. I just don't feel it's like Utah. LeBron's going to sign a small market.
I just think for me, the only reason I look at Utah is because we obviously see the Cavs with defensive issues. You know, LeBron could get away with playing really good basketball on a team that, I mean, let me rephrase that. With the defense in Utah, LeBron might be able to still get a lot out of everyone offensively, like more than other people could because of his playmaking ability and just the presence he has on the court, while everyone can still play the great defense they play anyways. But like you said, it's a small market and it's Utah.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, and LeBron could have a team on his back pocket. He's like, you know what? I'm going to create this team into a contender overnight, like all this stuff. But that's for another day. Well, I'm sure we'll have plenty more podcasts talking about that. But let's talk about your Pacers. You know, Trevor Booker was waived by the Philadelphia 76ers. The Indiana Pacers jumped on that. Why the Pacers add Trevor Booker?
Pacers have two big issues, interior defense and rebounding. Miles Turner has been really streaky this year. He's had moments where he's really good, obviously, and there's other moments where he looks terrible. He's not a big physical guy. He doesn't rebound greatly. He's decent at protecting the rim with blocks, but blocks are one of those stats that are kind of misleading because you can have three blocks a game and not be a great presence in the paint, which I think is kind of what Miles Turner is to this point of his career. So Trevor Booker kind of adds some more toughness down low. So Bonus obviously has been solid, but Trevor Booker's kind of gives him some toughness. You know, they can play a small ball five at Trevor. He can also play the four at certain times. I just think he gives them a little bit more toughness and some interior defense that they've been lacking and rebounding.
Yeah, exactly what he's going to bring is toughness and energy. Obviously, watching the Nets for the last two seasons, him being on there, getting him a free second-round pick right now, I think he'll do great with them. You know, you don't need him to do a lot. When he stays in his role, he's the best. And on the Pacers, he's going to have a smaller role when he's going to come in, bring a ton of energy. Like you said, rebounding-wise, he'll help. He'll bring the toughness that Miles Turner kind of lacks. He'll also give you some things that you don't expect. Once in a while, he'll run the fast break. He'll pick up the ball, dribble. He'll do a couple small things that really separate you. He has an all right spin move. He'll throw down some nice dunks, get the fans involved. I think you'll enjoy Trevor Booker in Indiana.
Yeah, and also what Trevor Booker signing does, it pretty much means that Al Jefferson playing this year is practically done.
Which is great because he's obviously too slow, and Booker's going to give you a lot more speed, versatility. Obviously, he doesn't have the jump shot, but he can still add a little bit offensively in terms of working on the boards.
Yeah, I mean, Al Jefferson, to his credit, you know, he's played extremely well in the limited minutes he gets. Last time he played was on Valentine's Day against the Nets, and in 8 minutes he had 13 points on 6 of 7 shooting. So there are still ways he can contribute offensively, but unlike, you know, a guy like Trevor Booker, he can run the floor. You know, Booker is faster. Al Jefferson, like you just said, he's just not built for this league.
Yeah, defensively anymore. He's just too slow. You know what I mean? So, hey, I think it'll be nice for the Pacers. Maybe help them in their boost for a playoff run. See what happens there. Where do you think Corey Brewer is going to go? Obviously, it looks like he's going to get bought out by the Lakers if he hasn't already.
I think the only team that makes a ton of sense to me is the Thunder. Obviously, to those who don't know, Billy Donovan coached Corey Brewer in Florida when they won two national titles back-to-back. The Thunder bench is not great. I'm not saying Corey Brewer takes that bench unit to a next level, but it's another guy who's been in the league. He's a veteran. He plays scrappy defense, nothing spectacular, and he's a better shooter than a couple of the guys they have.
Yeah, I agree. So see what happens with that. But that wraps it up for today. As always, Corey, thank you for hopping on. Thank you, everybody, for listening. You can catch the NBA Outlet on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, OTGBasketball.com, and Google Play.
Peace.